Page Rishud. Besides that, Kaveh Harbi, he's not a goose. He's not a goose. He's not a goose. Shatama Kofu. There's an extra book over there somewhere, anyway. This is called Yamana Atama Kofu, because he's not just Mitaris in Tiva. No major frontal attacks with his nature. Well, he's not a Yashin Day Turk. He eats at a normal time, he sleeps it off. He makes sure that his clothing looks put together. He doesn't ignore his body. He receives the funds to take care of his needs. Because he holds that intrinsically something important. Because that's a basic way to address his avoider. I recognize that my goof is going to be tibaya its needs. If I address the needs of the goof in an intelligent, practical way, the body will be very happy to allow me to do the next stage. So that's part of my avoidance. Idoch. On the other hand, Yimono, we call Girish or Taibas in service, try to refrain from any type of exacerbation of his Taibas. We said to the lyrics, preachers, Subarka, Basiva, Shketa, he tries to stay away from the hullabaloo and the hubbub of everything. He's just a quiet place, not involved in the Taibas or the Mazeb. Okay, that's a background concept. And was when I see a mitzvah, the Yishkach has tibah of Levi says atz kilu humal. Person doesn't forget and pretend he's a mal. Kol kamanos satia the kaddish has a goof. The goal is to envelop the goof as well and bring the kedusha of mitzvah into the goof. Shadav is a tibim and when it's Hashem umazim it's kubois tibah al mitzvah. He listens to the response that his nature is giving, the feedback that he's getting from his body in regards to the mitzvah. Okay. Amma oid mazika oibad Hashem ha'is almus mitiva. For example, look how damaging it would be if a person would ignore his nature. Okay. Oibad tefila. Yeah. Example, a person's davening, Makshav Azar is Mavabalo is Kabbalah. And he gets involved, his mind says, thinking about something else. So that taking his Kabbalah, his thoughts are getting involved in something else. Common occurrence. So what does he do? He forces himself to have Kabbalah. He pushes himself more, Misnoeya, he shuckles, he forces himself to Machavin. His mind wanders again. So he says, okay, no problem, I can do it again. And he fights again. But Be'etzem, there's a toast over here. Yamino Rega B'Yisparin. Why? Let's stop for a second and think about this. Where is it all coming from? Like, why is it in the middle of davening and all of a sudden he's having these thoughts about who knows what? He doesn't have a middle of breakfast. What's the problem? Is it there's something in his body which feels is not being addressed? Is it a guy which is refusing to allow him to lower himself to Hashem? He should try and, instead of forcing it, understand what it's saying. What is deep down? What is the issue over here? We're not relating to tefillah. Lo yisalim, don't ignore it. Begala the kudah the bli case and address. Uncover the point without being scared. It might be embarrassing. I realize that I have an intrinsic problem with the whole thing. That's their problem. Like, wow, it's pretty embarrassing. Like, you know, I'm 50 years old, you know, and you know, I don't have a time in the office. Okay, yeah, it's embarrassing. What's the better option? Continue, you should be 60 older than I'm a dominant. Like, that's the better option. Like, what's the problem? Gilik is an annoying, it's not pleasant. Especially during davening. It might be that he has to be recognized that his gaiva is what's daring. The deep down, he doesn't feel an intrinsic, a true bona fide need to ask for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He feels like he's got it all put together. So if he doesn't feel an intrinsic need to ask for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, davening is going to be hard. So you wonder why you have a problem having come to davening? Because davening isn't so important to you. But that's not a geschmack thing to admit to yourself that I don't take davening seriously. But the end of the day, if a person doesn't ignore it and he's willing to admit it and recognize what it is, then I can truly start addressing the question and discussing with myself, learning, etc., figuring out why I'm mistaken and convincing myself about my mistake. But if I ignore it and just try to shuckle better, I haven't addressed the root of the problem, and it's just going to come back. I told you before that, you know, the muscle of the spring. Right? You press the spring down, and you press it, and you press it, and you press it. So it sounds like it looks like fine, but actually you have the thing contained. And then at one moment, the pressure, you know, pushes back so hard, but then when it pushes back, it doesn't just go back to where it was before. Once you compress the spring and it jumps back like way, way higher. Right? So, like forcing yourself to have kavanah and davening. Now, let's... before I get to the next question, I want to explain the paragraph a little bit. We have a problem, and the problem is that we're trying to figure out how to have kavanah during davening. What we're not admitting is that sentence is totally absurd. Kavanah davening should be the most natural thing in the world. That's what it should be. That a creation is going to his creator and asking for his needs. Like, what could be more special opportunity that a person wants to take advantage of to meet his creator and have an opportunity, be given an opportunity to express what his needs are at that moment?
The words of Shemoneh Esrei are not really our needs, though. I mean, I'd say, I'm sure they are, but Chazal and the Sunnah, but we don't relate to them at all, a lot of them.
I remember, I used to.
Okay, so that's a good point.
So it's hard for us to express them in our own words, when especially the first Baruch Shemoneh Esrei. It doesn't mean anything to us. Kalagal, you know, Hashem is great, 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 great again.
Okay, so it's a fair question. You raised two points. I'll address it to two points. So yes, even a person reaching a madriga where they feel a natural, very, very natural relationship to talk to Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's when they're talking in their own words about their own personal specific needs. That comes natural. So we get that madriga. That's a very, very basic tefillah. That's a very powerful concept of tefillah, and that's great. How do I translate into the words of tefillah of which Chazal would convey it for me? That's a little more complicated. It requires a few things. First of all, it requires in the Lashon Rabbah, which means that I'm not coming to asking but for my own needs. I'm coming to asking for needs of all of Christ. So I once had this aura I said over in my Maidan say, we're invited to you about our lives, about our neshamas, the nisim you're doing for us. It's all Lashon Rav. Now, the guy next to me, I actually don't like him. I don't like him very much. And I'm actually not so happy that he has such wonderful nisim niflos. But I say, you took care of both of you. You made nisim niflos for both of us. Right? That's what I'm saying. Even when I really hate the guy's guts. That's very challenging, right? So that Lashon Rav sometimes can be quite challenging. Or I'm davening for Parnasa and Hatzlacha for the guy who is my competitor who has the door store across the street. Actually, I really would prefer he doesn't have Parnasa, he closes his door. Right? So sometimes it can be very challenging. Okay. But most times it's not that bad. But on the other hand, it's not that I have a snagdus badavka, I just couldn't care less. If I want to be honest, you know, Russian, listen, you know, at the end of the essay, when you get to the private precautions, I'm in. Totally focused, totally talking, natural, everything like that. But, you know, Chai Shab Yeshua is Nunu, yeah, Nishnish, you know, Game Nishnish. So that's next step, being honest. Right? Right? That I really don't care about Chai Yeshua. If I want to be honest, I just don't. Okay, so tefillah b'lashon rabim, I got to work on that. You know, how can I help myself feel about somebody else? I'm very self-centered, so I'm happy to do this work when it's about me. Right? The next step is the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. It's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, that's clear. Rishon, here's the deal. I'm self-centered, and you said I can come to you and discuss my issues. And I'm so excited. I walk in and say, one second, God's wonderful. Excuse me, what about you? It's not about you, it's about me. I'm not so interested whether you're wonderful or not wonderful. I just want what I want. Right? So that's the next step. Before we get into exactly what the words mean. Right? So we have a lot of hurdles we got to get over that, honestly, like that we don't relate. Right? Honest. You know, the world is beautiful, the worship is wonderful, and sometimes we feel the worship does a chesed, we feel gemalig, right? But most people are not getting up and just singing in the morning, you know, God, you're great, I'm so excited that you're great. I'm dancing and singing because I feel Hashem is wonderful and I just want to praise Hashem. Now, why not? If Chazal saw that, like that is a normal thing, like, why don't we do that? Just like wake up in the morning and say, wow, Gershom made a beautiful world. He's wonderful. I love praising Hashem. Right? So we do have moments. You say Pesukah Zimra, you know, you say moments like, you know, you speak about, you know, the beauty of the Bria, and then what the Bria the Gershom made. But at the end of the day, it usually goes back to me. It's such a nice thing to me. It's such a wonderful world. So I feel good about that. Gershom, thank you for the wonderful world. Gershom says, and if you wouldn't be part of it, you wouldn't say it's wonderful. So because you're part of it, we're truly self-centered. So that's our biggest challenge. Then we get to this, like, you know, okay, so like Rabbi Yanky Horowitz set up a story. Apparently has a few friends who live in Muncie who work in like textiles, you know, buying and selling, you know, materials, etc. So they're going to some type of conference. They're flying out to this conference. They asked them if they would drive them from Muncie to the airport, to Newark. So it's like an hour drive. So in the car, these guys were talking about textiles the whole time. Now, you talk about textiles like any you know, field, you know, there's technical terms, you know, as well. Since I have an hour straight, I'm driving along, I have no idea what the guys are talking about. Like, it's all English words, they mean nothing to me. He said, so we got to the airport. He says, I said, okay, everybody, you know, for an hour straight, you guys have been talking on this car about words they have no idea what they're talking about. He says, but I want you to understand, and stop a second and think, and this is basically what you're asking your kid to do every single day. You know, why do your kids work Kavanah during davening? You ask me, because he's a principal. Like, you know, why do your kids, you know, parents in the school? Like, you know, he says, would you enjoy sitting for an hour saying,
Like, no, of course not. So what do you want for the kid? Right? That was his, you know, the guy said, good point, right? You know, like, you know, and the whoop and the whoop and the whip and the whip, you know, like the 17. Oh, 17, you're out of your mind. Why 17? I think 23 makes it. Like, he was out of his mind for an hour, you know. Okay. So the truth is, you know, most of us at this point in our life, we do know what the words mean. We just don't know exactly what Chazal meant with those words meaning that sometimes. A. B. Many areas of Tefillah do have an area which we can relate to. C. If you look at it from the vantage point, not of ourselves but of Klal Yisrael, a lot more things start, make, you know, help, we start seeing it from that. Right? So it's a question of orientation. The problem is if you wait till you get to Shemoneh Esrei to do this, it's like a bad time to start doing that, you know. Right? That's 1 second. It's not a question of Pirush Amilus. That's not our problem. It's like, what is the message? Right? So, like, stop and think about it for a second. You know, I have this interesting sitter. You ever saw my sitter? Right? You know, with all the questions and etc. I have the questions that, you know, I don't necessarily agree with. But that's not the point. The point is, he challenged you to think about the words, about the message. What's the message to you? What is it saying to you? But you can't wait to Shemoneh Esrei to do that. Right? The person has to, you know, think about it during the day. What is the message that this tefillah is saying to you? The obvious, you've heard my harangue about obvious before, but I'll say, do it again because you probably forgot. I'm not going to go through the whole spiel because the whole spiel is like the counts of mice. My spiel with the ants, you know, and Rabbi Rangel, right? Obvious is about this musig that the whole idea that the Bershom is interested in having a conversation with us is beyond comprehension. Like, the gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us is way beyond the gap between me and an amoeba. I really don't get excited by having amoebas talk to me. Like, you know, I've never heard amoeba talk before, but like, you know, what do the words mean? What does it mean the Bershom is interested in hearing our brakashas? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Umos are before, without the Bershom telling us that he's interested, that we should be able to even come up with such an idea. Rabbi came up with such an idea. The Umos are before that said it's impossible. Rabbi came up with, he was born in the Bria, and he came to the Akara that's not right. The Bershom set up the Bria in such a way that he gives feedback. If he couldn't care less, there's no feedback. So either give or don't give. Nish, a little bit here, a little bit there. Like, what does that mean? He's not interested. Uninterested. He is interested. And the Bershom is giving a tremendous hashpua. Vice versa, he cares, and he developed a thought process. And that Avraham Avinu should have the audacity to think that is a mind boggling. So the Bershom came and said, "You were right." And the Bershom says, "Yes, I am interested in hearing what you have to say. Yes, I'm interested. Talk to me." And as far as we're concerned, the tremendous godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's interested in talking to us. The greatest, when you see a godel and you see that he has a nevis, that the nevis is the greatest godless. He doesn't distance himself. That's a lekei Avraham, a lekei Yitzchak, a lekei Yaakov. I had this aura one time, you know, something you can have these different auras. Did you ever think about the bracha being of Hallel? That says to me that had the Bershom not been mitzav was to say Hallel, we wouldn't say Hallel. Because, like, what do you mean you're saying Hallel? We're back to the amoeba talking to human being, saying you're wonderful. You know? The Bershom says, no, not only am I giving you a rishus to say Hallel, I want you to say Hallel. Not only am I telling you, I want you to say Hallel, I'm making you say Hallel. I want to hear from you. I want you to praise me. I want you to be excited about it. I want you to sing to me. Right? Instead of saying, lowly humans go away, you know, you picture in the movies, like, you know, the king says, plebeians, avek, you know, he says it in Yiddish, right, for sure, right, the Rosh Hashanah says, come, talk to me, praise me, sing about me, like, really? It's a mind-boggling sentence. Someone gets stuck in the first part, forget it. Like, already lost the chazan. Like, you know, it's Sivan or Likras Ahala. I try to think about it. It's a mind-boggling thing. How do you go weiter? Like, just stop and enjoy that. The Baruch Hashem, he cares about us enough. He knows that we're scared out of our minds to approach it. The Sfas Emes says, you start Hashem says, I keep talking because, like, we're tongue-tied. We're in such awe that we should approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we sit there and say, Rosh Hashanah, I need you to open my mouth. I can't do it on my own. Like, that's the first step, Hashem Esrei. Right? So it's a combination of, yes, it's the most natural thing in the world that a creation should want to talk to its creator. And it's the most awesome thing in the world that the creator should want to talk listen to the creature. So both sides are true. The Goyin Taka says that Bakashas and Shmoneh Esrei should be Lashon Rabbah. You're not supposed to make personal Bakashas. At the end, you make Bedafka not. It's like, Chazal saw, yes, that this relationship Kodesh Baruch Hu has, but Iker is through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. So you need to address them through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. There's also another approach, which that's not what Shmoneh Esrei was nikva on, of a person that has a personal conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That you can do it time during the day, doing Shmoneh Esrei after. Rizal Tarver one time said, he says his best davening is at work. He comes to they're having a deal with him, he's saying, Rishon, please just let him accept this deal. Right? He says, that's one of his best feelings during the day. He says, in Nebuch, some of his best work is during davening. So that's not what part of the problem is, that the tefillah issue is, he says the problem is our gaiva is mafrios. And remember, Sarah Klaus Shot Siata the Shemaya, that's one problem. But even if I do, but I'm so self centered that I Pranosa has been pretty good this year. I'm not streaming from Pranosa. But what if the guy next to you is, he's losing his house? Okay, they say that, Reuven said that what destroyed America was the radio. So he had two horrors about the radio and the newspapers. He said the radio gives you an explanation for everything. So so it's this terrible tragedy, there's terrible disaster. Oh, explains because the plates went. That's why it happened. No barrier anymore. Everything is a scientific explanation. That's all. His base, he says, sensitivity was destroyed. The guy's eating breakfast. When you read the newspaper, over breakfast. So he's having his coffee with a cinnamon bun. Right? 53 people, died in a, cinnamon bun, coffee. 50 people died. Oh, yeah, next article, evacuated 10 million people, evacuated from their houses. That's a really good cup of coffee. It's horrible. We don't think about how ridiculous it is. A person just, I can't eat. The Maaser of the Pesach. The Maaser of the Pesach with the breakfast. There was Bachur that rained. He's supposed to bring that with the Pesach. He came to the Pesach. He made the breakfast like he's supposed to. He brought it to him the time. He said, I come back, I can't eat. Again. Finally, he says, okay, can't eat. Finally, it's happened twice. He asked him, what? He says, every morning at a certain time, the children go to school. And there's a million children in Eretz Yisrael which are going to secular schools to be taught kefir. It bothers me so much, I can't eat. I just can't eat right now. I'm thinking about all these children going to school to hear kefir. How can I eat?
Never eat.